Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, took a scroll from God and opened six of the seals on the scroll. The sixth seal showed great judgment. But with all things that God does, He has a schedule and a reason for pouring out the judgment when He does. He will not do it sooner, and He will not do it later than His purpose. And His purpose here is to have the number of the saved complete. Everyone who is going to be saved, He wants in heaven, or at least saved, so they can be prepared at the time of the second coming. And He will not make any judgment, or the final judgment, before that time. Therefore, John saw next that there are angels ready for judgment, holding back the four winds of the earth, the destructive forces of the earth, until the time that the servants of God are sealed on their foreheads, that they might be spared that destruction. The number of the sealed is huge. There are 144,000 from Israel. And the number from the rest of the world, no one can number. When will the number be complete? Well, we do not know. But we trust our God that He knows when the number is full and when the time is right. Having shown John the number of the sealed and their eternal bliss in heaven, the Lamb finally opened the seventh seal. Look at Revelation 8, verse 1. When He opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. As you can see, the opening of the seventh seal is quite different than the opening of the other seals. When the Lamb opened the first six seals, immediately something happened. This time, nothing happened for about half an hour. This seal will bring activity, but first there is this interesting half-hour silence. I don't know if you've ever noticed this about the book of Revelation before or not, but things had been happening loudly. So this must have seemed strange to John. Almost deafening. You know, loud sound obviously can be deafening. But when there is silence after loud sounds, and the silence is protracted, I know it sounds odd, but it almost is deafening. There's its own loudness. I want you to listen to the power of silence. I am going to be silent for half a minute, starting right now. That was hard to do. I have my left thumb and my right index finger on the page of notes where I am right now. And I can hear my thumb just going across the edge of the page. Normally I would never hear that. And I heard a little bit of shuffling or ruffling around. I heard someone cough or clear their throats very softly. I thought, I can't do it too loud or it's going to be really loud. Public speaking has taught me the power of the pause. If you listen to comedians, they know the power of the pause. Like in a sermon, sometimes you can make a point and then pause. And there is something about that pause that it makes the point for you even more so than continued explanation. Because what you just said is now having a chance to sink in. And people are thinking about it. And they're wondering. And they even anticipate, what is he going to say next? Well, in this case, the power of the pause was placed perfectly at the seventh seal. There was a need for silence. After all the activity of the first six seals and before the new activity of the seventh seal and the rest that shall follow in the book of Revelation. Now, here's the part that I mentioned earlier that I don't know if you've ever been aware of, the sounds in the book of Revelation. We are so preoccupied with the meaning of all these symbols and all these activities. We wonder, what's happening with that white horse in the first seal? And what's with the red horse in the second seal? And there's so many things that we see. We want to know the meaning of those things. So we're looking at those things. But John wanted us to know, and he wrote it down, but we've probably skipped over most times when we read the book of Revelation. John wants us to know that there was a lot of loud noise when all this was going on. In chapter 1, verse 10, when the revelation begins and Jesus shows himself to John, John said that he heard behind him a loud voice like a trumpet. Then in verse 15, referring to the same person who is Jesus, he said that his voice sounded like many waters. Not just water sitting there, but water that's rushing and roaring. In chapter 4, verse 1, John said that after he saw a door open in heaven, the first voice that he heard was like a trumpet speaking with me. And trumpets are not silent instruments. They put out some volume. Verse 5, he said, proceeding from the throne were thunderings and voices. Well, you know what thunder is like. And if you've ever been close to the source of thunder, rather than miles away, you know that it's not so much a boom, a low rumble, but it's a snap, it's a crack, and it's loud. Chapter 5, verse 2, he said that he saw a strong angel with a loud voice. Verse 11, he said this, then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice. Well, 100 million plus angels don't have to sound loud to be loud. But if they are then all loud on purpose, can you imagine the sound that must have been to John? Verse 13, I think, loudness is implied. He said that every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and in the sea, he heard them all making a proclamation. There's got to be some volume there. Chapter 6, verse 1. He said, I heard one of the four living creatures saying with a voice like thunder. Verse 10, he says that they cried with a loud voice. Chapter 7, verse 2. Again, John wrote, and then I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God, and he cried with a loud voice. Verse 10, there's this great number up in heaven crying out, he said, with a loud voice. Then there was silence. Not only of sound, but of activity. There was constant activity before this. One thing happened, and as soon as it was done, there's another thing. When it's done, there's another thing. So noise and constant activity, and all of a sudden, it stops. No sound. No activity. Not for half a minute, as I did earlier, but for about 60 times longer than what I did earlier. What was going to happen next? I almost get the idea that what is going to happen next is even greater than what has already been happening. What is this all about? With all of the mighty things that were going on in this revelation, and with all of the great beings in heaven, the angels, the four living creatures, the 24 elders, and all of creation praising God and being, not preoccupied, but just being occupied with things in heaven, does God know what is going on down here? Does He care? Does He know our toil and troubles? Does He know how the world attacks Christianity? Is He hearing our prayers that we offer in regard to our troubles and that we offer in regard to our enemies? We'll find the answers to those questions next. When activity starts to pick up again in heaven, starting with seven angels. Revelation 8, verse 2. And I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. These evidently are special angels who stand before God, and they are ready to make the announcements and the proclamations that proceed from the throne. Each one received a trumpet. Something wonderful was about to happen. But before that, something else very wonderful must happen. Do you know what it is? All that I can say is, remember what happened at the fifth seal. Remember, I told you that's a key passage to understanding the book of Revelation and its whole purpose. The fifth seal, that was in Revelation 6, 9 through 11. And we'll read it in just a few moments. But right now, let's read verses 3 and 4 of Revelation 8. Then, another angel, not part of the seven, they're standing there, these seven angels before God's throne, ready to make some kind of proclamation. They've got their trumpets. But now, John says, another angel, having a golden censer, came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints ascended before God from the angel's hand. Now, brethren, remember the fifth seal. Listen again to Revelation 6, verses 9 through 11. When he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth? Then a white robe was given to each of them, and it was said to them that they should rest a little while longer until both the number of their fellow servants and their brethren, who would be killed as they were, was completed. The fifth seal revealed saints in heaven asking God, wondering how long before He took vengeance on their persecutors. The seventh seal shows their prayers and our prayers for similar things offered to God. Excuse me. Another angel had a golden censer and went before the golden altar in heaven, which is different than the altar in the fifth seal. That one was like the altar of burnt offerings, and this one is like the altar of incense. He was given much incense in order to mix it with the prayers of the saints. The incensed prayers ascended before God, stopping all activity in heaven. The prayers of the saints silenced heaven. Did you get that? Do you see what's going on here? Sometimes God leaves us speechless. But we can do things, in this case prayer, that so gets the attention of heaven that it falls silent. Habakkuk 2:20, I believe it is, says, Let all the earth be silent before the Lord. And sometimes all of heaven is silent before us. Wow. I don't know what to say about that. That leaves me speechless. What goes on in our lives, brothers and sisters, matters to our God, to our Father. Our prayers are a sweet-smelling incense to Him. What is going on here is really nothing more than Old Testament imagery of what happened both in the temple as well as some things that we have recorded in the Psalms. Let me give you two passages, one from the Old and one from the New, that show what happened in the temple concerning prayers and incense. First of all, in Leviticus chapter 16, verses 12 and 13, God instructed His priests with these words. Then he shall take a censer full of burning coals of fire from the altar before the Lord, with his hands full of sweet incense beaten fine, and bring it inside the veil. And he shall put the incense on the fire before the Lord, that the cloud of incense may cover the mercy seat that is on the testimony, lest he die. Incense on the mercy seat, the place where God met the high priest. Then, you'll recall in Luke chapter 1, Luke shows us Zacharias, the future father of John the Baptist. And he is inside the temple. And an angel suddenly visits him and they have a conversation so that Zacharias is delayed in coming out of the temple. But the people are outside doing something. Listen to what Luke 1:10 says. And the whole multitude of the people was praying outside at the hour of incense. Prayer and incense together. And did you hear the passage that Lake read earlier from Psalm 141, verses 1 and 2? The psalmist, I believe, picked up on this. He understood the connection between our prayers, how they ascend to God, that they're like incense, how they ascend to us and how it smells pleasing to us. So he wrote this in Psalm 141, verses 1 and 2. Lord, I cry out to you. Make haste to me. Give ear to my voice when I cry out to you. Let my prayer be set before you as incense, the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. Now, if you listened to Psalm 141, verses 1 and 2 carefully, it sounded a lot like what's going on here in Revelation 8 and at the fifth seal. How long, O Lord? And Psalm 141 was saying, how long? Make haste. Don't wait any longer. Let my prayer be like incense. And the prayers are like incense before God. When I read Psalm 141, verses 1 and 2 especially, but also the whole psalm, I told myself, Psalm 141 is the fifth seal. Psalm 41 is the seventh seal. Psalm 141 is the book of Revelation. If you just want to know, how can I summarize? If anyone ever asked me, what is the book of Revelation about? Psalm 141. It's God's people praying to Him about their enemies, which is what Psalm 141 is talking about. And God's hearing those prayers and He's doing something about it. That's the book of Revelation. Also, remember what we saw in Revelation 5, verse 8. John in chapter 4 had just shown the throne of God. Then you come into chapter 5 and they discover that there is someone who can take the scroll from God, look at it, open it, you know, take off all the seals and read it. And when he took it, when he took the scroll from God, here's what Revelation 5, 8 says. Now, when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. See, we've already seen that before. Although heaven is the ultimate place, and every creature in heaven worships God freely, joyfully, and earnestly, and although the Lamb, Jesus Christ, and the living creatures are all greater than we are, when we open our hearts and our lips to speak to our Heavenly Father, especially over matters of persecution, our prayers ascend before Him to His throne, and He is delighted to hear us. He is as delighted to hear us as we are to smell the sweet aroma of incense. And he stops heaven for a moment to show us that he cares. Have you prayed, therefore, to God about your enemies and about the church's enemies? Revelation 8, verse 5. Then the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, and threw it to the earth. And there were noises, thunderings, lightnings, and an earthquake. The prayers of the saints under the altar and the prayers of all the saints still left on the earth were answered. Revelation 8:5 is the power of prayer. What happens when our prayers go up before God, especially pertaining to our enemies and those who are trying to hurt us and trying to silence the church? Well, God's response to that is to have an angel with a censer, fill it with fire from the altar, and he throws it to the earth. And man, things start happening. Look at it. As soon as he does that, there's noises, thunderings, lightnings, and an earthquake. Things truly start happening. While many great and wonderful things are done in heaven, and while the church faces severe persecution on the earth, the book of Revelation shows that God knows of our enemies, and he is moved to take severe action against them if they don't repent. This angel took incense from the altar and threw it to the earth. The earth here is the world arrayed against the church. But heaven is arrayed against the world. The reaction was spectacular. What happened when the angel did this was a prelude to what would happen when the angels sounded their trumpets. The earth is a great object. It is immovable by man's forces. However, our God is able to shake it. The kingdoms of men are powerful. But when the saints pray to God to be avenged of their enemies, God shakes things up. He shakes up things that we thought were immovable. And that's the power of prayer. You know, what do we pray about anyways? Would you please examine the content of your prayers this week? And see if you're asking God to do earth-moving things. In Isaiah chapter 29, the Bible shows that this type of imagery has been used before when God spoke of destroying His enemies. Isaiah 29, verse 6. You will be punished by the Lord of hosts with thunder and earthquake and great noise, with storm and tempest and the flame of devouring fire. Joel chapter 3 has a similar symbol to represent the destruction of his enemies and the enemies of his people. Joel 3, verse 16. The Lord also will roar from Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem. The heavens and earth will shake, but the Lord will be a shelter for his people and the strength of the children of Israel. And again, that's the book of Revelation. God shakes things up, but he has his people sealed. He's got them marked on the forehead. He knows those who are his, so that he's not destroying them, but he separates them. Now, the angels are prepared to sound. Verse 6. So, the seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. They were waiting for the signal. The trumpets have been brought to their lips. Their breaths are ready. And when the order would be given, then judgments on the church's enemies would begin. Similarly, in Matthew chapter 3, John the Baptizer, with a graphic picture, showed that God was ready for judgment. Listen to what he said to the people. Matthew 3:10. He said, "And even now, the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." See God with an axe. He's a lumberman. And he's at an old tree that's just not producing anymore. Or maybe a diseased tree. Or a tree that just refuses to produce fruit. The axe is not on his shoulder. He doesn't have it on the ground and he's leaning on it. He has both hands on it and it's at the root of the tree. In other words, he's ready to strike. He has found his mark. He knows where he wants to start swinging it. The next thing he's going to do is bring it back and he's going to start whacking away at that tree and bring it down. That's where the seven angels are in Revelation 8:6. They, in a sense, have axes at the root of a tree or some trees. And they're ready to cut it down. As soon as God says, "Commence cutting," they'll do it. God is still ready. What will you, what will I do in the meantime? Are you prepared for the judgment? Prayers are always offered to God, yet we know that heaven is not always silent. The prayers referred to here are those asking God to take vengeance on their enemies. And though the prayers are offered all the time, here in the passage we've examined tonight, it is as though they have all been collected and now they're all being offered to God because it is time to answer those specific prayers. God's been hearing them. But now they've been put with the incense. Now they come up to Him and now He's going to do something about it. Speaking of prayer then, do you need us to pray for you? Do you have someone who's persecuting you at work? Do you have someone who's persecuting you at home, in your neighborhood, or some other place? Do you have a great struggle with which you are fighting? Brother or sister, can we help you? Can we pray to God? He'll hear us. I believe what we've read tonight. I believe every word of it. I think you do too. Do you want our help? And if you're not even a Christian, all of heaven is waiting for you to become one. Can we serve you? Please come forward right now as we stand and sing.